Hey leaders, as we prepare to close out 2024, I am excited to share some of my reflections from the year as well as my top 10 leadership lessons. Today, I want to talk about the top five for 2024, and I hope that you'll find them inspiring. And more than that, I hope it inspires you to start your own list. Let's talk about life and leadership in 2024. Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hey leaders, how's life treating you? Well, my life is treating me really well. Today is my birthday, 52 years of life, and I'm super grateful to God for it. I'm so grateful to God for the life that He's blessed me with, the family that I have to share it with, the work that I'm blessed to do as a career. I couldn't have imagined having this life, and I'm so grateful for it. This morning, I posted about a conversation that I had with my 12-year-old self as a part of my annual reflection exercise. And I thought about what it was like to be 12 and how the awareness of life and its limitations hit me hard around that age. You know, earlier in life, we just kind of think that all we have to do is ask our parents for things and they make a way to get it done. If you kind of feel like the center of the universe. I was the oldest child and grandchild on my dad's side. So for a long time, I was kind of the center for my parents until my baby brother came along. And I think there's something in your basically primal memory that has you remembering what it was like to be that. And so for much of my childhood, hey, I felt like if I ask, I'll receive. I was the apple of my parents' eye, my grandfather's eye. And then around 12, I started realizing that I was not the apple of the world's eye. And I became aware of things that I just hadn't paid attention to before, like the differences between how people treat boys and girls, the differences between how people treat Black people and white people. The fact that my parents didn't have the resources to always give us what we need. I started overhearing conversations about money, and my parents started having more adult conversations with me about limitations, and suddenly the world got a little scary. And so I made a deal with myself that I was going to work really, really hard to overcome the limitations that I felt as a young person. Only to find that while that incredible work ethic that I think I inherited from my family, particularly my dad's side of the family, it's just a great family history of that. But the work ethic that I inherited, I thought it could outwork and outrun the fears and insecurities that came upon me early in life. And while it served me well in my 20s and 30s, which is why I believe I was blessed to be an executive director at 28, a CEO of a multi-million-dollar nonprofit at 37. I think all those things serve me well. But just like anything, if you run long enough, you run out of energy and you'll run into a wall. And that's what happened in my 40s. I started feeling like regardless of all the effort and energy that I put into a thing, that it would never be enough. The criticism as a CEO was overwhelming. The constant pressure to perform and outperform and to do more and to solve this problem and to solve that problem was overwhelming. And I hit a bit of a wall at that age. And during those years, even as I completed a multi-million dollar capital campaign, it just was one thing after the other after the other. And I remember thinking, is this all life has to offer me? A constant circle of setting goals, achieving goals, setting larger goals. It just seemed like there had to be more to life than this. And that's when I really started doing the internal work of trying to find out what more there was to life. And I turned to my faith and I realized that it wasn't just about achievement for me. It was about value and self-worth. I was looking to earn a place of value and self-worth that God had granted me at birth and that Jesus died to solidify. And that was transformative when I realized that I didn't have to earn what God had gifted me. And then I began to ask myself, well, if I don't have to earn value and worth, what is my purpose? And that opened up a whole new world for me because I realized my purpose was to empower other people to achieve theirs. And that was exciting to me. My purpose was to help other people who maybe are stuck in a performance cycle to get out of that cycle and to experience the joy and the love and the fulfillment and the peace, being confident in Christ and living in such a way that allows you to serve without sacrificing yourself. And so that's what I've been on the journey to do, and I'm so blessed. And in the midst of all of that, God has blessed me tremendously. He's blessed me with a partner who has for almost 30 years now demonstrated unconditional love and support, who's always been in my corner, who's been honest with me and accepting it of me at the same time. And I believe that God gifted me with Riley to demonstrate the fact that that type of love was possible. He was the earthly example of what I came to know spiritually, that God's love is unconditional and that he found a way to love us just as we are. And so I'm so grateful that God sent my husband to be that example, and he's been that support and that foundation and that rock on earth for me. And then I'm so grateful to have children who, gosh, are so brave and courageous, and they have shown me what it's like to live life without those insecurities. I mean, it's like every human, they have their doubts and they have their days, but they are overwhelmingly the most courageous, talented, and self-assured people that I've ever met, all three of my children in their own unique way. And they've given me the courage and the confidence to do the same just by watching them. So I'm so blessed. And then, of course, I have wonderful extended family and friends, my dad, my siblings, just everybody that God has put in my life. But today, I'm just feeling super, super grateful. So that's how I'm feeling today, which leads me to the point of this episode, which I'm going to break down into two parts. At the end of the year, if you followed me for any length of time, it is my tradition to extract my top 10 leadership lessons of the year and to share them with you. So today I'm going to talk about the top 5 leadership lessons that I've experienced this year, and I'm going to share them with you. And then next week I'll talk about the other 5. So that's what we're going to do today. Thank you for indulging me in my sentimental moments this morning. And let's get started talking about life lessons. Let's talk about the lessons that I learned and the strategies behind them. And let's talk strategy. All right, let's talk about the top 5 leadership lessons that I experienced in 2025. We'll do those today. And as I stated, we'll do the other five next week. So let's jump right into it. The first one is an easy one: prioritize wellness and self-care. So this year, I started the year not great physically. I had high blood pressure, something I'd never experienced before. I had heart palpitations. I was feeling exhausted. I was feeling uncomfortable. I'd gained pretty much all the weight back that I'd lost during kind of the COVID years. I'd lost about 50 pounds and I pretty much gained it back. And I was miserable and upset with myself and just where I was. The other thing is that after 50, you know, there's all these things that you're supposed to get in terms of checkups. And I wasn't really great with regular checkups. During my childbearing years, I got all the checkups that I needed. But after that, I started being a little bit more sporadic. And one of the things I promised myself after my mom passed that I would get regular checkups and I would follow the guidelines for all the things that I'm supposed to get at certain ages. So, but it took me a while. It was probably mid-year before I followed through on that because, like I said, I think there was fear and there was also just my schedule was busy and I had this reason or that reason, but my son got married. Just whatever I could tell myself I was going to do to avoid it, I did. But then around April, we got a Peloton and that began to really change the game for me. It was such a blessing. My husband got it. We were on a trip and he got on one and enjoyed it and said, "Hey, I think we should get this." I was a little skeptical, but I was like, "Sure, let's do it." When we got it, I fell in love with it. And since then, I've had over 30 consecutive weeks of working out 3 to 4 times a week. Most recently, to just kind of shake it up, I started back getting on our treadmill as well. And now I'm up to like a 9 incline, something I never could have imagined. I feel so much better. I can think so much better. So it was really good. But even with that, I wasn't still getting my like eating under control. So in September, I went to my doctor and I was like, "Hey, I think I need some help with this." So she prescribed a shot that I'm on. So it's kind of a low dose thing. Because of the phase of life that I'm in, we're just kind of easing, and the fact that I hate medicine, we're just kind of easing into it. But so far, I've lost 15 pounds or so since September. So that's really good. And so I'm taking that seriously. I feel better. I am grateful to God that I'm healthier and on a healthier trajectory moving forward. It's really important as I age that I do that. And I think the biggest lesson as a leader in this is, number one, prioritize your health. Number two, get the help you need. Number three, work's gonna always be there. So if we're waiting for that to lighten up, we'll never get healthy. So prioritize your wellness and your self-care. Number two is, do not make decisions, particularly big decisions, out of pressure or desperation. There were a few decisions that I was making after I felt a little pressure to do some hiring and are pressured to just by virtue of having a lot to do and, you know, needing help. I was like, "Hey, I need to do this." And as I was doing it, my gut was kind of telling me, maybe you shouldn't. Like, I know you have a lot going on, but I think you should wait. Like, that's what I was feeling in my spirit. But the load in my head was like, "Girl, just get some help. Do what you need to do. I think this is a good move." It wasn't a good move. And I remembered years ago, a mentor told me, never make big decisions when you have drama in your life. And I had I just was feeling overwhelmed. That was the first of the year when I was going through all that health stuff. And I made decisions that only made it worse. And so after mid-year, after we got the Peloton, it's crazy how that works. I was just like, "You know what? I'm going to slow all of this down. And everything that I do moving forward, I'm going to try to do it in a thoughtful way that aligns with my mind, body, and spirit." And it took me a while to get the hang of what that looked like, but it's made all the difference. Like, this last quarter of the year, God has been so good. He's bringing in what we need to be successful. And I'm excited about that. That brings me to lesson number three. Before hiring, take the time to evaluate how your needs have changed. It's funny that in just a year, what I thought I needed for this one position that was open really changed the next year. The landscape changed, the way our team interacted changed, the support team changed. And so what I would have needed just 12 months prior was significantly different than what I needed today. But the problem was I was hiring for what I needed 12 months prior. I also wasn't paying attention, like I said in last week's podcast, to how I had changed, how the dynamic and the culture of the organization had changed since the pandemic. And I was hiring for kind of a person that would have been perfect pre-pandemic when we were a very different organization and I was a very different leader. So taking the time to evaluate how have we changed as an organization? How have I changed as a leader? How have our needs changed? Our target audience changed? The landscape changed? Before you make your next major hiring decision, I would highly recommend it because it just might change who you want to hire. So before doing that, take the time to evaluate how your needs have changed. Don't let what is typical for a position dictate what you need. Look at what is needed. Or don't let what's typical dictate how you choose your candidate. Look at what is truly needed and what's needed for you. Number four, consistently show appreciation for those who consistently show up for you. Let me say that again. Consistently show appreciation for those who consistently show up for you. Listen, that is a big lesson that hit me this year. I am blessed to have some people on my team and in my corner and in my circle that are consistently hardworking, who roll with the punches, who get up every day and try to figure out how to make things better, who are honest and integral and loyal. And sadly, we can take those people for granted. And that is a mistake, particularly in today's climate when those kind of people are so rare. So I have made an effort this year to let my team know in word and deed how much I appreciate them, because I mean, they are remarkable and I don't want to take them for granted. I think it's a mistake to do that. I try to make sure that they know how valued they are. I try to be accommodating to their needs and changes and the challenges in their life, because again, having people on your team that are equally committed to the work, who are committed to ensuring that things are done well, committed to the mission and committed to you, like that's rare. And so I spent more time, I think, this year counting my blessings and being grateful than I did looking at the things that were not working. And it made all the difference, both in my enjoyment, but also I think in theirs. And I hope that it's helping to retain the talent that we have on our team. And then I would even go so far to say that's also true for people in your life, like the time that I've intentionally spent with my husband, time that I've intentionally spent with my children, the good friends that I have, I think have meant everything this year, because I realize, again, number one, life is short. So I realize that at the end of our lives, it's the relationships we had, not necessarily the work we did, that we'll value the most. So consistently show appreciation for those who consistently show up for you. And that brings me to number five, be mindful of the friends, and I say friends in quote, who fail to applaud you publicly. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, I know people are different, and I know that not all of us are like equally engaged on social media, and I'm the kind of person that I don't really like going out, like not a big luncheon gala person, even though I completely understand the importance of having those events for the organization's success. But I'm not really a social person as much as I'm more of an introvert. And I like small, intimate groups of people that I know well and trust when I'm in terms of my free time. So I go out for work as it is needed and required and expected. But in terms of just like, you know, some people are like for this season, like they are always at the places that you should be And I envy those people because they have the emotional and social energy to do it. But I don't. So most of the time, I don't do that. With that being said, the people in my life that mean the most to me, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to show up for them because they mean a lot to me. The same thing's true from a social media standpoint. I'm going to always congratulate, acknowledge, appreciate people that I know that are doing good work, and I'm going to do so publicly. I've learned to kind of watch people who have a lot of great things to say about you in private, but don't really show it publicly. There's something to be said about that. And there's a reason for that. And sometimes the reason is that they don't want to appear duplicitous, meaning that they've spoken to people about you in a way that them complimenting you publicly would make them look duplicitous. Just something to keep in mind. Like, be nice to everybody, be friendly to everybody, be supportive of everyone, whether or not they support you. But in terms of people that you hold close, people that you trust, people that you tell things to that you may not necessarily want to be public, people that you share your ideas with, your strategies with, people who want your free coaching and advice, but at the same time aren't supportive to you publicly, watch them. It's something that I've learned the hard way, and I won't get into it more than that, but I'll say, as much as I've tried to talk myself out of it and say this is different or that's different or people are different and not everyone expresses relationship the same way, I found in the end that sign is true to form. So let's review the top five lessons. I hate to end on a downer, but I think it's an important one. Mostly to tell you this, you're not crazy in feeling that way, because you can kind of talk yourself into thinking, well, I think I'm overreacting, but you're not. You're not. My life's experience will tell you that you're not. So trust your gut, trust your instinct, trust what you see. Don't let it change how you treat others. That's the key that I've also, let me add that as a 5B. Something that I've learned is, despite what I see, don't like just cut people off or make you change how you're interacting with them. That's also a mistake. I've done that in the past. Like, I'm like, ooh, that's negative. Bye. And that's not good. Like, at the end of the day, don't cut people off. God may not be finished using you to be a blessing to those people. He may not be finished using them to be a blessing to you, even unbeknownst to them. So let's not cut off our hands despite our face, or however that saying goes. Our nose despite our face? Yeah, because your hand's not on your face. So don't cut off your nose despite your face. Like, that's not smart. So that's kind of a part B. Notice it, but don't announce it. Like, notice it, but don't announce it. Just watch and make moves in terms of the types of things that you share and how you spend your time to make sure it's equitably, you know, for you or beneficial to you. Start asking yourself before you go or before you answer or before you commit, is this a mutually beneficial opportunity? And if it's not, you know, kindly decline, wish them well, but don't just be like, hey, I noticed this, and it's not necessary. You know, sometimes you can just note and keep it moving. And if there was anything I could do differently in my life, it would be that. Note it and keep it moving. So take that. So with how you want it. So with that being said, let's review real quickly those top five of the top 10. Prioritize wellness and self-care. Make that a priority moving forward. Don't make decisions out of pressure or desperation. It's better to leave a position vacant for a long period of time than fill it with the wrong person. It's better to not make a move than to make the wrong move. So often, sometimes making the wrong move moves you to the right move. So I'm just going to kind of leave that. But it's better not to do that if you kind of feel it in your gut, I shouldn't be doing this. Number three, before hiring, take the time to evaluate how your needs may have changed. Number four, consistently show appreciation for those who have consistently showed up for you. And number five, be mindful of friends who fail to applaud you publicly. So those are the first of my top 10 lessons. Come back next week for the last five. All right. So as we wrap up today's episode, I want to offer you this word of spiritual encouragement. The Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you'll reap if you don't faint. Your due season is coming. The season where all of the things that you have done, all the work you've put in, all the encouragement that you've given, all the sacrifices that you've made are going to produce fruit. A harvest is coming from that. But you can't get so weary that you get out of line and forfeit the blessing that's coming from all the work you've done. Don't get weary in well-doing. I know it looks like the enemy's winning. I know it looks like people that do less or that cheat or that lie or that maybe even steal seem to be getting ahead. Don't worry about that, because what, like the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that also goes for those who have sowed bad things. The reaping day is coming. The Bible says just because God is patient, people think, and that's, I'm saying it like in Kim language, but just because God is long-suffering, people think that they have gotten away. No, God is long-suffering because he's good, because he wants to give every opportunity for repentance. But when that door closes and when that grace is up, God is God. And he said he won't be mocked. So let's not look at those that are, you know, lying and cheating to get to the top. Their story isn't over yet. And let's not be discouraged when we're trying to do the right thing and it seems that it's not producing the fruit that we desire, because our story isn't over yet either. Focus on what God has called you to do. Remember that he is supplying your needs. Remember that he's making a way. Remember that you've not had to go without. You may not have had everything you wanted, but you're not going without right now because God is faithful. But more than any of that, remember the fact that he is going to come through. He said that David said he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed beg for bread. God is faithful, who promised. He's going to do what he said. So don't give up. Rest, refresh, reset, but don't give up. Not in this season. Not in this season when integrity is rare. Not in this season when doing the right thing doesn't come around that often. Not in this season where people are selling out instead of speaking the truth. Not in this season. We need you. I need you. Our community needs you. Don't get weary, friend. In due season, you're going to reap if you won't faint. Now let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come just thanking you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father God, that you're more than enough. You and you alone are enough. God, we thank you that you and you alone are enough. That you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. That nothing happens that catches you off guard, that surprises you, that you have a plan for it all. So, Father God, I pray that in this season, God, when we celebrate the coming of Christ, that you will bring us into the understanding of your plan for this season. That just like he came upon the earth with little, you know, few people knowing, except for those who were wise enough, oh God, to see the signs. Lord, may we be wise enough to see you in this. May we be wise enough to see the coming of your kingdom at a time when the world almost feels like it's at its worst. May we be wise enough to acknowledge your presence and all that it means in this season. And may we be a part. Help us to be a part of it. Reveal our part in your plan and help us to be about your business. So I thank you, Lord God, for the revelation of this season. I thank you for insight. I thank you for clarity, for understanding, for new vision, for new passion. And Father God, I pray for the courage and the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @leadwithkim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely. Thank you.